Amen. You can be seated. Good morning, everybody. Morning. Hey, it's always good to be gathered together with God's people. I'm looking forward to opening God's word today and starting a brand new series in 2 Timothy. And so go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn there. We'll get there in just a few minutes. But that's where we're going to be at today, 2 Timothy. Hey, be praying for people in our church. We got people traveling today. We got people that are out ill and sick. And so hello, everybody online. We're glad that you're watching with us today and gathered with us. 2 Timothy is known as a pastoral epistle. Paul wrote three pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. It's in the New Testament toward the end of your Bible. And God uses the Apostle Paul to write this letter to a man named Timothy. Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And before Timothy got here, the church was having some problems. Before he was the pastor, and a little bit while he was the pastor, they were dealing with some problems with false doctrine being taught. They had some disorder in their church and in their worship. And so God called Timothy and used Paul to encourage Timothy to stay there and to be their pastor. And in his first letter to Timothy, Paul writes to encourage him and to give him some instruction to help him lead well and to help him pastor well and to give some order for the church. Paul writes to him about the gospel, about the truth and sound doctrine, about salvation. And he even talks about qualifications and order for how the church is designed and for leaders in the local church. And then years later, Paul writes again to encourage Timothy as the pastor, but also to encourage the local church on a few things. He writes on how to remain strong and how to be healthy and how to finish the race well. So I'm looking forward to our time in 2 Timothy and see how God uses this in our church family. I think it's going to be a great study, and I'm praying that we'll be encouraged but also challenged by this study together. When you begin a new study in the book of the Bible, when you start the preaching of that, the first message can be a little challenging because you want to dive into the first few verses, but you also want to look at some historical context, like what's going on with this, right? Who wrote it? What's going on? Why did they write it? And so we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at some context, and then we're going to dive into the passage. As I said earlier, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus. But we'll notice that this writing is different than other things that Paul has written, even different than 1 Timothy. And the main reason for that is this. This is Paul's last letter. When Paul writes this, he is in a place that's called the Mamertine prison. Paul had been arrested many times. He had spent a lot of time in prison. I think he could have wrote, you know, the reviews on prisons. You know, we look for reviews for hotels. I know my wife does. We don't ever stay in a hotel until my wife sees another mom and another wife that's given a review, right? And so I think Paul probably wrote some reviews on prisons. But his teaching and his preaching of the gospel is what led him to prison. Right? God had called him and used him to spread the gospel and to call people to follow Jesus, and that would upset the leaders, and so they arrested him many different times. And he spent time in some softer prison, some harder prison, some home prison, basically under house arrest. But this time was different. Paul was in the Mamertine prison in an underground chamber. And this particular place was for those who knew they were going to be executed. And it's believed that when Paul writes this letter, he had already received his court hearing and was expected to be executed in the near future. And we know of what he writes in this letter that he had been abandoned by everyone except Luke. A lot of times we see that he, you know, has people come and visit him, but basically the only one that comes visit him is Luke. And you may not know this, but Luke is also a physician, right? And so there's probably some tending to if they allowed that in there, but Luke is there encouraging him. But most Christ followers were fearful. Luke was there, but most of them fled. He does ask Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, I'd love for you to come and see me. I'd love for you to come and visit. We don't know if that ever happened or not before Paul was killed because of the gospel. But it's believed that Paul's arrest, his trial, and his coming execution was part of a man named Nero. It was the emperor at that time. he had a strong persecution toward all Christians. And I'm not going to go into detail because they're quite graphic on what Nero would have done to prisoners or to Christian prisoners. But under his reign as emperor, many Christians were brutally beaten. They were persecuted, arrested, and crucified, and many times they were burned alive. It's understood that, I'll give one graphic detail just so you understand that, it's understood that Nero blamed a burning of the town, the city, on Christians. And so the persecution even among the people came, and it's understood historically that he actually lit Christians on fire to light his garden. This is the hatred that he had toward Christians. And this is believed to be, many people call this, Paul's last will and testament. And so this letter is different because of that. It's very personal. We're going to see Paul share his concern and his care and his love for Timothy. We're going to see some different themes throughout this as well. We're going to see themes of encouragement, right? Remain strong, Timothy. Live well, lead well, finish well as a pastor, but also to the church, right? In your walk with Jesus, remain strong, live well, lead well, finish well. And as we walk through this study, we're going to see Paul not only write about being strong and standing firm, but we're going to see things like, what does a godly leader look like? We're going to see things like, how do we multiply? We're going to see a great model for discipleship. He talks about the gospel and guarding it and suffering for it and proclaiming it. And church, I think this has one of the most well-known passages, the most powerful passages of when he speaks of the word of God in chapters 3 and 4 about the word of God and its source, that the word of God is God-breathed, and talks about the power of the word of God. Church, now that we got a little bit of background, I probably spent way too much time this week studying, but I would have loved to just talk more historical context, but we need to dive into the word. You guys ready? Let's do that. Let's dive in. Would you guys stand up and honor God and his word? We're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. You guys follow along as I read. Here's what God's word says. He introduces himself. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remembered you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, for I am mindful of sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Let's pray, church. Father, we open your word today, and we're ready to hear from you. God, I pray, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth are from you and they glorify you and bring you honor. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we hear what your word has for us today, that God, that we would all respond and listen and be encouraged and challenged by it. And so God, be in charge of every part of what we're about to do as we open and teach and listen to the word of God. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 12, what the author was talking about our Christian life, and he compares our Christian life to a race and running the race that is set before us with our eyes fixed on who, church? Our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And today, what we have here is Paul writing to Timothy to encourage him to run the race that is set before him, to run his race. For years, Paul had been pouring into Timothy and teaching him how to run his race well. And they ran the race together, right? They did ministry together. They did life together. They served together. But now what we're seeing is a little bit more of a relay race. Anybody run relays in high school or college or anything like that? Man, it's just good. I loved it. Man, I remember you got to get your timing right. And we went to Oak Park High School, right? Our color was blue. So you yell blue, they pop their hand out, you put that in there and they take off, right? That's what we're seeing right here. We're seeing the handoff of the baton to Timothy. Paul's life and ministry here on earth is coming to an end. So he's kind of saying, hey, I'm passing this on to you, not as an apostle, but as a leader and a godly man. Paul's about to be executed for sharing the gospel. He's about to go be with Jesus, and so he's handing the baton off to Timothy. In our seven verses today, Paul is going to begin this chapter really by encouraging Timothy on how to be a godly man, a godly leader, a Christ follower. Church, we all need encouragers in our life. Amen? Right? You don't think so, man. You're missing out. One of my biggest encouragers in my life is going to be here on Friday and Saturday and here next week. Church, he's going to preach next week. Pray for him, Bob Bear. Man, he is, you don't like me, man, just blame Bob. Just tell him that next week. But man, he is an encourager, church. And Paul is going to encourage Timothy on how to be a godly pastor and leader and Christ follower. But this encouragement is not just for Timothy. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. It's going to be for all of us. And you may say, well, I'm not a leader. I'm not in a leadership position. I love what John Maxwell, one of his probably best quotes that he ever said, he says this. He says, leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. And each and every one of us here in this place has influence on someone. You are leading someone, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you have influence. You're leading someone. We all lead in some ways. You may be leading here in the church. You may be leading in the business world. You may be leading in your homes or your community. Or maybe you're influencing someone that is seeing how you live your life as a Christ follower. And so this encouragement that we see Timothy receive, these reminders that we see him receive, is really for all of us as we live lives as Christ followers. We're going to get into verse 2 in here in a minute, but I want us to look at the introduction. Paul begins by telling him who he is. He does that in his letters. He said, this is who I am. He says, I am Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus to Timothy. He's telling us who he is, church. He's telling him that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You know, this is a good word because it doesn't mean that's something that he pursued or just gave himself his own title for. Like, he was appointed this. Jesus said, man, I'm calling you to be an apostle. Paul was in a very small group of men who were called by Jesus himself. These men were personally called by Jesus as apostles, and he commissioned them to communicate the gospel. I think we need to be careful when we have someone that uses the title of apostle. I think we need to be careful about that. I think we probably should have a biblical conversation. Amen, church, right? I mean, the apostles are those people that Jesus, they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus, they were commissioned by Jesus, and they were also given authority by Jesus. You and I are Christians, right? We're called by God. We are saved by Jesus. We are sent out by him, but we are not apostles. As an apostle, Jesus gave them, he gave Paul certain authority. And so when Paul is speaking here, we should listen. Amen, church? We should listen. We know that he's preaching by the inspiration of the Holy, or he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he's got authority. And so he introduces himself as an apostle. And this isn't just for Timothy and the church in Ephesus. The biblical truth that we're going to read in this study is for all Christians of all times in all places. And he says this, I love this, church, don't miss this. He introduces himself and then he says, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the gospel. That's what he's sent out to do, to proclaim the gospel. He's writing this letter as he knows that he's about to die his physical death. But because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Paul knew that he would have eternal life that was only found in Jesus. Paul knew that soon he would be with Jesus. But that was also his mission, to call others to know and trust in and follow Jesus so they too could have eternal life. Because although we face death here, we can have eternal life through Jesus. Church, I don't want us to miss this. I love what he says about the gospel. It says, according to the promise of life. I had an opportunity this past week, a couple times, but one in particular, went to a restaurant that I love to go to, and I was able to share the gospel with a young man that gave his life to Jesus this week, and we just celebrated that, and it was really awesome. And what was interesting is it wasn't, God's timing is perfect, God's place is perfect, he's sovereign over all of that. We were where we were on purpose for a purpose, church. We were there, and it was amazing because we were sitting there, and if you've ever met me, you know I'm pretty quiet, right? With my talking, I'm kind of quiet. But it was really neat because we're having this conversation and people are just listening. The waitresses would come by and they're listening to me share Jesus with this young man. There was a guy sitting, you know, we're sitting here and he's sitting here and he's kind of listening the whole time. It was a little awkward. And then he kept looking at his clock and he finally gets up and he comes up to me and he goes, "Man, I'm really excited that you're sharing Jesus and talking about the Bible and all this." I'm like, "Dude, I'm still talking to him. Like, what are you doing, man?" It was really neat though. Lots of people, we were there for 2 hours and lots of people were listening to us talk about the life that we have in Jesus. That's his introduction. And then over the next six verses, we're going to see Paul encourage Timothy and remind Timothy of what God has done in his life. He's going to remind him and point out ways in which Timothy got to where he was. I like to look back at my life and think, man, who did God use in my life to get me where I am today? Are you with me, church? What has God done? What has he done in my life to get me to where I am today? And so we're going to see, how did Timothy become the leader and the man of God that he is? And Paul's going to encourage him and remind him of some things. And for us, we're going to see three takeaways, three ways that God builds godly leaders and godly influencers. We're going to see if we can recognize, pursue, and apply these things to our own life as we influence others in our life as Christ followers. So here's number one, church. What and who did God put in Timothy's life that made him into who he was? Number one is this: Timothy had a mentor. Timothy had a mentor. God put a mentor in Timothy's life to help shape him into the man of God and into the leader that he was. Look at verse 2. Paul says this. He says, "To Timothy, my beloved son." Church, I think it's important for us to know that Paul was not Timothy's biological father. He wasn't even his adoptive dad or foster dad, but he was his spiritual father. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. It'll be up here. You don't have to turn back there. But in the first book that he wrote to Timothy, Paul writes this. He says, "I'm writing this to Timothy, my true child in the faith." He's a spiritual father. And as a spiritual father to Timothy, he walked with Timothy. He poured into him. He encouraged him. He helped him grow in his walk with Jesus. He helped him grow into who God had called him to be. And if you study, you do a character study here, you're going to see that this mentorship for Timothy begins really in Acts chapter 16, and some would even say it was before that, but we know for sure it began in Acts chapter 16. Paul's on a missionary journey, and he walks into this village, into this city, this town, and he sees Timothy. He sees Timothy living his life for Christ. He sees Timothy as a disciple of Jesus. And then he talks to other people and he's like, "Man, is this the real deal?" And they're like, "Yeah, he's the real deal." You got other people affirming what God is doing in Timothy's life. And so he goes up to Tim and he says, "Hey, Tim, man, I want you to come with me. I want you to do ministry with me. I want you to learn from me." Paul was a mentor who led by example, church. He led Timothy by example. That's in your notes. Timothy had a mentor and he led him by example. Church, Paul being more mature in his walk with Jesus, being more grown up in his faith, he was a proven godly man and godly leader. And he saw Timothy and he saw what God was doing in his life. And he said, "Man, you need someone to pour into your life." And so he says, "Hey, come and hang out with me. Watch what I do. Come and be a part of what God has me doing." Timothy wasn't going to be an apostle, but he got to see firsthand Paul live his life on mission for Jesus. You know, I often say that we need to live interruptible lives. Me and my wife love to live by a schedule. We need to. We're busy people, got a lot of things going, people coming in and out of the house. Are you with me, church? Like, schedules are good, right? They're good things, but we need to be able to lead interruptible lives. So if God needs us to do something, we're willing to say, "Yes, God, I'm gonna do that." And that's what Paul's doing. He's interrupting what he'd been doing so he can invite Timothy to be a part of that. In Philippians chapter 2, when he's writing to that church family there, he says this in verse 19. He says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly." He says in verse 22, "But you know of Timothy his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." Church, I just want to remind us, this is just one reason of why it's so important for you and I to do life in community with one another in the church family. We were never meant to walk our Christian walk alone. We weren't meant to do that. And by the way, in the United States of America, man, we kind of lead in that, and we should honestly repent of that, right? We're meant to do life together in community. We need others, and we need others to pour into our lives and lead us by examples. Any readers in here, right? We can read books, right? We can go to conferences. We can take classes. But church, it can never replace what we can learn when we see someone else live it out in front of us. For me, I think of men in my life that said, hey, I want you to come with me to this hospital visit. I want you to come with me to this funeral. I want you to sit in with me while I do pastoral counseling with this couple or with this individual. Come with me while I go out in the community and share my faith. Man, I learned so much from that. And so one reason that Timothy was the godly leader and the man that he was is because God gave him a mentor who was willing to lead him by example. Church, I think this, when you look at your own life, I think we need to ask ourselves, where do I need to grow spiritually? Right? If anybody in here doesn't need to grow somewhere spiritually, I want to hang out with you a little bit. Amen, church? Right? But where do I need to grow spiritually? And then, church, be humble enough to submit yourself and to let someone else pour into your life. Find someone that can lead you by example. There's no one perfect, but there are people that God is using. Are you with me, church? Okay, I'm getting kind of some blank stares here. I want to make sure that we're on the same, that you're tracking with me here, man. Find someone that can lead you by example. Be willing to do that. Second is this, Paul, as Timothy's godly mentor, he loved him. He loved him. Paul doesn't address Timothy as, hey, Timothy, my student or my mentee. He doesn't even say, hey, child of mine. He said, you are my beloved child, my beloved son. The word beloved speaks of one who is being well-loved and who is very dear to someone. In fact, it comes from the Greek root word for agape. So here's what's happening here. Paul is loving Timothy with a Christ-like, sacrificial, selfless love. I love what he writes. He said to Timothy, verse 2, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's just greeting him and encouraging him. He said, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. These words to Timothy are personal. They're relational. This isn't Paul up on a high pedestal saying, here, child, listen to me. Like they are you with me, church? Man, they're personal. They are relational. We got signs back there that says real relationships. That's part of who we are. That's one of our core values. And Paul is pouring into Timothy and having a real relationship with him. He's inviting him into his life. This is not just surface level stuff here, church. Are you with me? Man, this isn't just surface level stuff. He refers to him as his son in the faith. He recalls and remembers the time they spent together. He says that he longs to see them, and he's thinking about doing ministry and the life together, and those thoughts, man, they filled him with joy. And so God shaped Timothy with a mentor who not only modeled things for him, but who loved him. And then Timothy had a godly mentor who prayed for him. He prayed for him, church. I was on the phone with one of my mentors this week, and this man never hangs up the phone with me without saying, hey, Jeff, let me pray for you. This past week, I was in a little bit of a hurry, and we were trying to rush to finish our conversation. He said, hey, Jeff, let's not miss this. I need to pray with you. I need to pray for you. I need to pray for your family. I need to pray for your church. Verse 3 says, I thank God. And then he says, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. I want to speak to spiritual mentors in here. If you're pouring into someone, church, I think you need to be constantly praying for them. He gives us a great model here. He doesn't just say, hey, I just think about you whenever you come up on Facebook, right? I'm not just praying for you whenever you send me a text message. I'm sure they had something like that back then, right? But he says, I'm praying for you night and day. I pray for you night and day. Paul, church, listen to this. Don't miss this. Paul was seeking God's face and God's favor on Timothy's behalf. How encouraging is it to know that someone is taking your name, your request, your needs to God. I remember I grew up in the church of the man that's going to be here next week and this weekend. And we were saying goodbye to Antioch Bible Baptist Church, the church I really grew up in. I wasn't born in the church, but I was born there, you know, raised there. And they were sending me out and to go be a pastor at a church in Kansas City. And I got surrounded. I went to the restroom. I come out of the restroom. I get a drink and I turn around and I'm surrounded by four ladies. And these ladies had tears in their eyes and they say, "Jeff, we just want you to know that since you were a freshman in high school, the four of us gathered together and we prayed for you. We saw God do something in your life and we wanted to be a part of that. We prayed for you. We took your name to God on a regular basis." How encouraging is that, church? Just think, Paul was in prison waiting to be executed. And who's on his mind? Who's he taking to the throne of God? He's taking Timothy. God used Paul as a spiritual mentor to model for him, to love him and to pray for him. Church, I can point to people in my life who prayed for me. Can you do that? Like, just think about that, man. Who in your life has prayed for you? And I'd encourage you to go this week and just thank God for them and maybe reach out to them and say, thanks for modeling out how to be a good Christian husband or a good Christian wife or a good Christian mom or dad. Are you with me, church? I think we should do that. Thanks for praying for me. Thanks for loving me. I've seen people that have prayed for me. I've seen God answer their prayers and use those prayers to shape me into who I am today. Church, God hears when we pray for others. Do you know that? Like, God hears our prayers. And then we see as his mentor that Paul motivated him. Man, this is a good one. I mean, he motivated him. We're going to cheat a little bit and skip to verse 6, where Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul is affirming God's calling in his life. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Some believe that Timothy may have been discouraged at this moment. Some believe that Timothy was struggling a little bit, maybe losing a little bit of steam and endurance. Church, he was pastoring a difficult church. We don't really know what Timothy was struggling with, but we believe that Paul knew that Timothy was struggling and he needed to hear this reminder. And so he motivates him, he pushes him, he reminds him. He says, "Keep the fire lit for Jesus." You ever need that, church? Keep the fire lit for Jesus. He motivates him to keep at it, keep using your God-given gifts, keep speaking, keep teaching, keep leading, keep sharing the gospel. Church, we need to be together so that we can see each other's lives and know how we can motivate each other. How can we motivate each other to run the race with endurance, right? To keep going, to keep following Jesus, to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's what Paul's doing. He's writing to him saying, "Hey, Timbo, man, you got this. Man, you got it. Keep the fire alive, Timbo," right? I think that was his nickname. I think it's not in the Bible. I'm just making that up. Just church, I can't tell you how blessed I am when brothers in Christ, mentors of mine, speak truth into my life and encouragement into my life. And sometimes it's hard truth. Sometimes it's correction. But we need that. Speaking truth and encouragement. Man, I love when they do that. I might not like it in that moment. Right? But these people also, they've earned that, right? Right? They cheer me on when I need it. They remind me and encourage me to be with Jesus and to live for Jesus. They help me keep my eyes on Jesus. We all need this, church. To have brothers and sisters who can be an example, who pray for us and who motivate us. Next, we see that God blessed Timothy not only with a godly mentor, but with a family. Timothy had a godly parent. In fact, we know a little bit about Tim's family. We know that he had a godly and faithful grandma and mom. The gentleman that I shared the gospel with, he was told by his grandma, "My dying wish is that you sit down with Pastor Jeff so that he could tell you about Jesus." He had a godly grandma. Right? Timothy had a godly mom and a godly grandma. It's believed that his father was not a Christian. We don't know for sure, but Paul is encouraging Timothy and reminding him of the blessing that God gave him of those that were in his family. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." If you jump ahead to chapter 4, we see that grandma and mom, they were in the Word of God. They were students of the Word of God. They were followers of the Word of God, and they taught the Word of God to Tim. But I love this. Paul says, Timothy, the sincere faith that is in you, you saw it, you learned it, you lived it out in, right? You saw it in your mom and your grandma. Church, part of why Timothy was who he was is because of his grandma trusted in Jesus and gave her life to Jesus and surrendered her life to Jesus and trusted in Jesus and followed Jesus and lived it out in front of him. Same thing with his mom. She was saved by Jesus. She faithfully followed Jesus. Timothy got to see it lived out in his home. Parents, I want to give us a strong word here. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Make sure you hear this. Your number one aim as a parent. I think this is pretty secure in case somebody needs to throw something at me, Jason. I think we're good, okay? I made a bullet. No, not really. But your number one aim as a parent is to make sure your kids, it's not to make sure your kids have a lot of friends or the nicest clothes. Are you with me, church? It's not to make sure that they are the best athletes or even have the best college experiences and degrees. That's not our main role as parents. God's word tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to love God with all we are. We're to believe in him and trust him and follow him with all our heart. We're to be in his word, and then we're to pass that down to our children. The Bible says that our children, man, they're not a hindrance. They're not a burden. It says they are a blessing. They are an inheritance. They are a gift from God. God has entrusted your children to you. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we're to raise up our kids, the kids that God gave you. You're to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And that's what Timothy experienced with mom and grandma. They loved God. They were in his word. They followed and trusted Jesus. They were saved by Jesus. They lived it out. Parents, you want to know, grandparents, you want to know, mentors, you want to know one of the best ways to bring up kids so that one day they may know and follow Jesus? By the way, you can't save them, right? That's between them and the Lord. But let them see that your faith is real in you. Let them see you live it out. Let them see you in the Word of God. Let them see you spend time with Jesus. Let them hear you pray. Let them see you and hear you ask for forgiveness and then forgive others. Let them see that it's real in you. And that's what Timothy had. He had a grandma and a mom, and their faith in Jesus was real. Her faith, mom's faith, grandma's faith was sincere. It was authentic. Not long after I moved to Tucson, Jax was about 18 months old, and I read a book where a young man said that he grew up in the church. His dad was a pastor, but he rejected Jesus. And he explained in there why he rejected Jesus. He had since been saved, but he had rejected Jesus because his dad would stand behind the pulpit and he would preach what he said was biblical truth. And then he would go and talk with people and his son would hear him speak biblical truth. And he would go to his neighbors and his son would see him be a good Christian man. But when that door closed, his dad was a different person. And so he said, if dad doesn't believe it, if dad doesn't live it out behind the doors, then it's not real. It must not be true. Now that family reconciled and they were able to work through that. But church, we need to live out sincere and authentic faith. You may not have kiddos, but someone's watching you. That helped Timothy be prepared. His parents can't save him. Only Jesus can do that. But their lives showed that Jesus was real. So Timothy was encouraged by Paul to keep at it, reminding him that all that God has done in his life. And then church, he gets to the most important one. And hear me on church. If you haven't received the first two, if you've never had a godly mentor, if you've not had a godly parent, but you are saved, you have this one. And it's the most important one. If you're not saved, if you've never trusted in Jesus, then please know this. The moment that you call on Jesus to save you and to be Lord of your life, you will immediately have this third truth. And the third truth is this. Timothy had the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. He had the Spirit and spiritual gifts. God shaped Timothy from the inside out. into the man, the pastor, and the leader that he is through the presence and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking with his followers in John chapter 4, and he's telling them, hey, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and where I'm going, you can't go. I'm going to go build a place for you, right? And that where I am, there you may be also. Right around in that same area, he says this. He says, I will ask the Father. You got God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, I'm going to ask God the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word another in the Greek means one like the other. So it means that I'm going to send you another one like Jesus, right? Meaning he's God. That he may be with you forever. Who is it? That is the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit, church. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because what? He abides with you and will be in you. The moment that you and I surrendered our life to Jesus as Lord of our life, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. The Holy Spirit seals us into the day of redemption, signifies our adoption. He leads us and teaches us and guides us to follow Jesus. Ephesians 5 says that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what it means to be filled by? It means you're controlled by it. Here's the reality, church. You're like, nobody's going to control me. Something's controlling you. Something, someone is controlling you. Might as well be the Holy Spirit. And so Timothy, because he placed his faith in Jesus and called on Jesus to save him, Timothy is now adopted into the family of God. He's got an eternal home, but he has right now the Holy Spirit living with him, just like you and me. Church, that's crazy. God, if you are saved, God lives within you. Thought y'all would be a little more excited about that truth, but maybe you need to understand what you got. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in you. And look at what Paul says in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit or given us a spirit of timidity, right? Not to be cowards, but of power and love and discipline. We know that Timothy has the Holy Spirit inside him who is helping him grow into the man and a man of God and pastor and leader that he is. But the Holy Spirit, church, also gives each and every Christian a spiritual gift. You know what that means? If you're a part of this local church, God has given you a gift to use within this church. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one, he's talking to Christians here, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In that passage, Peter's writing to Christians and he's saying, if you are saved, each and every one of you has received a special gift, spiritual gift for you to use. And Paul's telling Timothy in this moment, he said, man, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, but you also have this gift and you're to use it. Use it to glorify God. Use it to serve the church and the members of the church, and use it to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, I want to encourage you. If you're saved today, you have spiritual gift. And I just can be bold enough to say, you have to use it within the church family. Right? God, if we want to be obedient to follow him, we got to use it. Are you with me, church? Paul is saying, Timmy, all sorts of different names. Timmy, remember who lives in you and remember what God has given you, right? Not only do you have a mentor and parents, but you got God living in you and he's given you a gift. Don't forget that. We don't know exactly what's going on with Timmy, and we're just going to go with it, okay? It says Timothy in my notes, but we don't know why he needed this encouragement, but we do know a few things. Timothy was probably discouraged because of the church he was pastoring. It was hard. It was difficult. There was false truth. There's wolf in sheep clothing. Are you with me, church? Man, it's hard. But Tim also had an illness at this time. We know that Paul speaks to that. He had some tummy issues. We also know that he was a young man. That's what you say to Timmys. You know, they have tummy issues, right? He was a young man. He encourages him to be the man that he's called him to be. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, remember the power of God that's at work in you. Keep that flame lit. Use the gifts God gave you. For Timothy, it was probably the gift of teaching and shepherding and evangelism. But he's saying, Timothy, be encouraged. God is using you. He is at work in your life. He's given you a gift and you need to use it. You're valuable. I think not only is he encouraging Timothy, but he's encouraging you and me. We need to remember that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Come on, church. You got the Holy Spirit of God living within you. And God has also gifted you. And so I believe our last three encouragements underneath having the Holy Spirit and the gifts is Paul is saying to all of us, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Timothy, I know you're young. You got some tummy issues, right? The church is a bunch of boogers, man. They're hard, right? But man, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit, who is there to teach us and encourage us and empower us. In fact, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need to not only live for Jesus, but to tell others about Jesus. He empowers us to do that. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul was telling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's really saying, hey, be filled with him, be controlled by him, let him lead you. Ministry gets hard, church. Serving gets hard, life gets hard, we get discouraged, we feel unqualified, we feel unworthy, but the encouragement we need here is this: don't rely on yourself, but rely on God, the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you. Rely on him to strengthen you and empower you. And then Paul encourages us when he says in verse 6, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God. Paul is encouraging Timothy and he's encouraging us, use your gifts passionately. If you got them, use them, church. We're to use our gifts, church, to glorify God. First and foremost, we're to use our gifts to serve one another. And we're to use our gifts so that others around us can know Jesus. And so Paul is saying, don't get too comfortable. Don't get lazy. Don't miss out on what God is doing and how he can use you. Use your gifts and use them passionately. And then because we have the Holy Spirit, we're encouraged to live courageously. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. To have a spirit of timidity is to have to be fearful. I think the most repeated command in the Bible comes in the form of do not fear. Church, fear doesn't come from the Lord, but boldness does. And the evidence that God lives within us is not fear, it's boldness. Are you with me, church? Man, I mean, if our life is known as being a fearful person, man, that doesn't come from God. We need to example boldness. Church, we will all face timidity and fear in our lives, but we're not to stay there. When we experience that, we're to go to God and we're to give that to God. We're to go to others that can come alongside of us and motivate us and encourage us and love us. Are you with me, church, right? That's what we need. We're not to stay there. We're to take it to God. This reminds me of Joshua. Joshua is taking over for Moses. Come on, church, man. That's a big deal, right? He's taking over for Moses. He's leading millions of Jews who had fear. Right, he had fear, and here's what God tells him in Joshua 1:9. He says, Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed or discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Paul himself had moments of timidity and fear. So Paul's speaking out of experience. He says this in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. He's facing this fear, and it's that God says to him in a vision, he says, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Why, church? Say that with me. For I am with you. Church, because we are his, because the Spirit of God lives within us, God has already given us everything we need to face every trial, every threat, every situation, every season. Verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And so because we are his, because he leads us, we are able to love in the way that he calls us to love. Because we are his and because he is with us, we can have discipline and sound judgment, and we can live lives that are focusing on God and his purpose. Church, you know what this means? As Christians, we can have confidence in every single situation. This isn't going to be up on the screen, but I want you to hear what one commentator said about this passage. He says this: Paul is saying to Timothy, in your fear, remember that God is with you, in you, and for you. His Spirit produces the power you need to endure the love that you need to minister. Be disciplined, be diligent, be brave, for God is with you. Church, about a month ago, man, I went through a deep season of discouragement. You guys ever been there? Man, deep, deep discouragement. And God brought me to Joshua chapter 1, where he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Paul is encouraging Timothy here, but he's teaching us how we can live as Christ followers. God gave Timothy a spiritual mentor. If you don't have a godly mentor in your life, I think, church, I think you need to pray and ask God for one. Come and talk to me and we'll pray about that. We'll help find you one. If you're a parent, remember the role that you play in your child's spiritual life and live lives that are sincere, live lives that point your kids to Jesus. And here's the other thing. This is an important truth. Even if you didn't have godly parents, you don't have a godly mentor, you have the power of God living within you if you know Jesus. Let's pray.